forever in God's care, always. Well, today is the last of our four-part series on the what I call the four basic beliefs of unity. Now, you might read some material that says we have five basic beliefs. But the fifth belief is that, how does it go? That it's not enough to know it, we have to actually do it. I don't think that's really a teaching. I think that's just more of a directive. Anybody could say, well, know this and go do it. Of course, that's going to be part of why we're on the planet. So I don't really see that as part of our teaching. So I see we have four basic teachings, really. We've been going through these for the past few weeks. So the first one is God is what? What kind of good? Absolute good. Not good as in chocolate cake good. Or, a Disney movie good. It's capital G good, which is the principle of all good. God is principle, God is law, God is not a person in the sky waiting for you to trip up. That is not God. That's Charlton Heston. And we get that from Hollywood. They read it and they do a literal interpretation of that. And that really doesn't work for us, to have a God who is waiting for us to trip up. So the God that we know can be defined by so many different ideas of love, of joy, of health, of wholeness, of success, of all good. Capital G, good. So this is the radiating energy of the universe we're talking about. Not a person, but the energy of love itself. So if God is good, our unity teaching number two is, God. If God is good, you are what?
Good.
You're good. Or as Genesis says, you are very good. Oh God, you're so good. God went, I'm so good, look what I created. God looked at you and said, oh, I made a masterpiece here. Look how wonderful you are. Now, you won't get that going to most churches. You won't hear that. You'll hear you're a sinner. I was doing some work yesterday online, and I happened to fall into a path of Kingdom of the Cults, of which they call Unity One. And they call us a cult because we said what Jesus said. You are gods, and you forgot. So if God is good, goodness can only create in itself what it is. I like to say that a cat can only give birth to a kitten. A dog can only give birth to a puppy. God can only give birth to you, God's perfect child, God's perfect creation, which is what you are. We look at children and say, how can we think anything but this being of light is a God being? We grow up and we forget, that's all. We have divine amnesia, we call it. We forgot who we were. We forgot what we're doing here. Often people say, how do you know that? How do you know? Wouldn't I know this? If I were a child of God, wouldn't I remember I was on the other side creating a divine plan? To which I say, where were you Tuesday, October 12th, 1998? You remember 1998? Vaguely. I know I was more downtown, but I can't really tell you what I was doing in 1998 until somebody says, oh. What we remember is what the soul gathered as necessary. So when we're born here, we came with these talents and these gifts. Mozart was born. He, through many lifetimes, gathered this musical understanding in his soul. So when he was 4 years old, he was composing already. Your gifts, you came here with these gifts. That's your remembrance of another lifetime. That's your remembrance of God on the other side. So whatever gifts and talents you possess is your memory, is the goodness that you're here to share and to build new ones. So God is good, you're good, and to bring this goodness forth, we have what we call the four cornerstones of creation. Who's tapping? Stop doing that. This is my job. So the four cornerstones are thought, feeling, word, and action. Those are the creative tools that we have to bring forth this goodness into our lives. So what I'm thinking all day long, what I'm feeling about my life, what I'm speaking about all day long and how I'm acting determines what my life is. What am I thinking? I come here to Unity on Sunday mornings and I feel great, I feel wonderful. I go outside, I try to flag a cab and they won't stop for me, and I go back to the old way of thinking, nobody loves me because the cab driver didn't stop for you. Or you go and you have a snarly waiter who just may be snarly because he's waiting tables in New York. Has nothing to do with you, but you take it personally. So your thoughts, your feelings, your words, and actions that were so wonderful on Sunday morning here at Symphony Space went out the door for the rest of the week. We need to retain that wonderful memory of, I'm a child of God, I'm excited, I'm joyful about my life. My words are only creative today, and I take actions that bring it forth, regardless of what the waiter or the cab driver is doing. Yes? Okay. The fourth one we're talking about today, it's my favorite, one of my favorite. Prayer and meditation remind me of who I am. Remind me of my divinity. So that I can go forth on this planet that makes it so difficult to remember that, and I have that memory as I am doing the work I'm here to do. How many people have ever called or written to Silent Unity? Okay, how many people do not know what Silent Unity is? A few of you, okay. Silent Unity is the heart of the work that we are doing in Unity. Silent Unity is the prayer, the continual prayer. It's the oldest continual prayer ministry in the country. Began back in the 1890s. They've been praying for the planet ever since Myrtle and Charles Fillmore began it. As Silent Unity is the heart of the Unity ministry, our chaplain program is the heart of Unity of New York. They are our mini Silent Unity, if you will. Would our chaplains please stand? These are the people who are doing the work. And we're so grateful for these wonderful, wonderful prayer people here. Thank you so much. These are members. These are actual members from Unity. You have to be a member to have gone through the Unity classes, to know what you're doing, to know what you're talking about, to be able to focus and center ourselves in the truth all the time. They have to train almost every year. Whenever there's a training, doesn't matter how long you've been doing this work, you've got to retrain. Because every training reminds you, oh, I forgot about that. I forgot. Oh, yeah, there's another element. I need to remember so I can do this work in the way that I need to. So again, the healing work that we're here to do is the heart of the Unity movement. It was begun, as many of you know, if you've been around Unity for any length of time. Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founder, was told years ago, the century before that, as a matter of fact, in 1887, 1888, that she had tuberculosis and she didn't have very long to live. So go home, the doctor said, and get yourself ready to leave. Not a really happy thing for her to hear. Back then, tuberculosis was considered to be inherited. So there was a belief you inherited it from your family. But she said, no, there's something more that I need to know. There's something I know in my soul that is not the truth of me having to die. One day, not long after getting the diagnosis, she went to a lecture by a metaphysician named E.B. Weeks from Chicago. And in the middle of his talk, he said something that hit her like a thunderbolt. He said, you are a child of God, therefore you do not inherit sickness. She got it. She was so excited. She went home and she started doing prayer work. She began meditating. She did everything she could think of and from the guidance of other people. She began doing the healing work that within 2 years, she went back to the doctors and they said, you're clear. There's no more tuberculosis inside of you. Her husband was in real estate. We know what those people are like. He was very like, yeah, let me see about that. I'm going to go to headquarters myself. I'm going to read this thing myself and find out for myself. He also began doing the work that Myrtle was doing, and he found healing in his own body. He said, there's something going on here. They began studying, and they founded a new movement called Unity. It came to him one day out of the clear blue. He said, call your movement Unity. So ever since the beginning of the Society of Silent Help was the original name, for over 125 years, we've been doing this work of knowing the truth that God is at work within us, that there's a power we can rely on to bring healing, to bring abundance, to bring success, to bring the right and perfect mate. Whatever you're looking for in life, you've already got. That's the truth of who and what we are as spiritual beings. You know, the most faith-building thing I have ever done in my life is to work in Silent Unity for 3 years. I began as a telephone prayer room worker on the evening shift. The night shift, sorry. It's the day shift, the evening shift, and the night shift, which I mistakenly during interviews called the graveyard shift. They lovingly and joyfully reminded me we don't have a graveyard at Unity Village. We have a night shift. I want to thank you for sharing. Thank you. And then I moved into being a part-time supervisor and a trainer for the new people coming into the telephone prayer room. It was a wonderful work. Sometimes I prayed with over 100 people a day. 8 hours a day, 4 or 5 days a week for over 3 years was a lot of prayer. Even though I went through seminary and I learned about administration and about, you know, how to put a talk together, the real training I did was working on the lines for 8 hours a day, praying with people and going through every single emotion you could imagine going through. Irritation, joy, sadness, laughter, all of that just pouring forth. Sometimes God would speak through me and I go, that was hysterical. God has the most wonderful sense of humor, and sometimes I'd have to say, thank you for praying, and I'd hang up and go laugh. Because Spirit just loved to do that through me. One day I was praying with somebody. Some of you have heard this. And the guy, it was a young man, he called, he said, I think I may be gay. I don't know. What do I do? And I said, let's turn within. Let's know that God is at work. And I prayed the prayer of guidance. That God is the light on your path, and your way is made clear. Well, I paused for about a tense. I said, God? And the guy said, oh, that was very helpful. Thank you very much. And he hung up. So I said, well, he got what he needed, apparently. I had to go take a break after that. It was just a little too much. But Spirit does have a wonderful sense of humor that just comes out of the most interesting times when you're praying with people on the phone or in real life. So my job that I've learned from Silent Unity, I bring here, and that job is to remind us all, and myself included, our job is to remember that God is in charge no matter what. No matter what we're going through, Spirit is already here, knowing without a doubt that no matter what the doctors have told you, no matter what name the condition they have given you, no matter what your so-called chances of recovery might seem to be, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible for the absolute good that created you perfect as you are. And you are perfect. Perfect doesn't mean flawless. It means complete. There's nothing missing from you. There's nothing missing from you. Everything that you need is already inside of you. We just need to awaken to that truth and let it, give it permission to come forth. I've seen it. My 3 years of Silent Unity were some of the most mind-blowing things I've ever seen. Miracle, quote-unquote miracle-wise. I received calls back, and I'll share one with you in a little bit, from a miracle that this shouldn't have happened, according to the planet. I've been a participant with others in holding to the truth and watching that healing actually take place. I've witnessed massive coronaries disappear. I've seen breast cancer gone. Tumors melt away as if nothing. I'm here to tell you that nothing is stronger than God. When you have seen that and you've prayed with people for three years, there's nothing I haven't seen. One person called and said, you're not going to believe this. I said, try me. I've seen this. They said, we called for perfect weather for our wedding. We had it in our backyard. They said, it was raining on either side of our yard, and it was not raining at our yard. They said, everybody was standing there going, I can't believe this. And I said, well, I call for prayer, so believe it. It actually happened. I said, of course it does. When you're there, when you're praying for 3 years and you hear this, it's the most faith-building thing ever. I've prayed with people who call back almost immediately after saying, the doctors don't know what to do. They're completely baffled. I said, isn't that fun? That their minds are trying to make sense of it, but they're not using their hearts to know the truth. No tumor, no virus, no bacteria, no condition is stronger than God. Nothing you're going through right now on a human level is stronger than what created you. You came here today to remember that. We're here today to say God is stronger. The power, the strength, the principle of God is stronger than anything the planet may have created. People say there was a lump on the x-ray. I've got the x-ray that yesterday there was a lump, and the new x-ray said there's nothing there. People have called so many times through the years, like, the x-ray showed there was something and now there's nothing. That nothing is God. There's no nothing. It's just filled with God energy. When we look at the healings that our brother Jesus did, what did he ask the person before he facilitated the healing? Visa or MasterCard? No. You're right. Do you want to be healed? Is this something you want? Think about it for a bit. The guy by the pool for 40 years, he had a pretty good life. He didn't have to do any work. His wife says, sweep the house. Oh, honey, my back, you know. I got to go to the pool. I got to see an angel. So for 40 years, Jesus, great psychologist, says, well, do you want to be healed or not? You've been here for 40 years, I think. You would have jumped in at some point to the healing waters. Something in that guy awakened, he said, yeah. So he got up, and he went home, and his wife said, here, sweep the floor. I don't know. I think I have to go back to the pool. Do we want to be healed? Do we want to claim our lives again? He didn't ask anybody, what do you got? Let me see how difficult this is. He didn't care what anybody had. He didn't care about the name. It was beside the point. Myrtle Fillmore, in her book Healing Letters, said, when you're doing this healing work, don't ask the other person what they got. It's none of your business. Matter of fact, it gets in the way. Because then our human minds want to go, oh God, you got cancer. Oh, hang no, that's fine. Let's pray. Cancer, well, I don't know. So don't ask what the condition is. If somebody comes to you, they have a healing need, don't just say, God's at work here. We're going to know the truth. The Spirit is doing the work right now. So when Jesus' disciples, they were trying to heal this kid with epilepsy, Jesus came along and they took the kid and they were going, get out of him now. That's not a very good healing practice. Didn't really work. The kid was just going, I'm getting sick. By doing that. And Jesus said, stop doing that. What are you doing? They said, well, how come you could heal this kid and we couldn't? He said, because you're not praying right. You're not even doing prayer. You're trying to use your own willpower to make it happen. And prayer, that is not prayer. Prayer is not about willpower. It's mentally trying to fight the condition that we see, and we will never win when we're trying to fight a condition. We just won't. At one point, Jesus shocked his disciples by telling them, and therefore you too, that these things, these healings, these so-called miracles you see, greater than these will you do when you know that you're one with God. This is astonishing. We still, in the 21st century, have a hard time getting this truth. Can you imagine the reaction he got to that? Like, you're Jesus. It's what you do. I'm a fisherman. What are you talking about? What would you say if somebody told you that you could make the blind see? You say, ooh. Ooh, I like that. That you could make cripples walk, that you could facilitate the healing of AIDS in somebody, that you could heal your friend with breast cancer. What would your response be? Oh, I can't. Or, it's not about me, it's God using me as a channel. Because you can. The truth is you can. Every child of God has within him or her the power to heal. And therefore, because we're one, when you know your healing power and you know your healing energy, you can facilitate that. You can't make it happen. You can allow it to happen if the other person is open and receptive. Once you have made the decision to go on the path of truth, to become a metaphysician, which is a very fancy word for just a spiritual person, once you decide that you're on the path and you're allowing spirit to move through you to make a better life, you are naturally going to be a light of the world and people will be drawn to you. It's astonishing how that happens. Am I right? You've been coming for a while. People come to you and go, how do you know? It's because you're glowing a little bit or you're glowing a lot. How do you do this? I've seen you become happy. You tell me how this is happening for you. So how does that work? Jesus said, the Father who dwells in me does the work, which repudiates what the fundamentalists are saying, that Jesus is God. Jesus never said, I'm God. He said, God within me is doing the work. He said, you're our Father, not mine alone. Our Father, that wonderful Father, Mother, energy of Spirit, is always moving through us when we allow it to happen. Well, he said, the Father that dwells in me is doing the work. You know, it's not me, it's the energy that you see happening. Now, the problem the disciples came up against in trying to heal, again, they were trying to use their own willpower to make it work. They kept seeing the disease condition. They kept saying, we got to be strong to make this condition go away, rather than seeing the truth that God was already present in the person and the energy of God was simply being awakened. It just needed to be called forth for it to do its work. We can't ever be an open channel of healing, of prosperity, of love and harmony, of any good by focusing on a condition that is not of God. By focusing on poverty, by focusing on not having the right and perfect mate, by focusing on a disease. Wayne Dyer in The Power of Intention said, you can't heal a problem by condemning it. You can't heal something by calling it bad or trying to make it different. We say, I'll never make any good money in New York City. I don't see how that can happen. We say something like, I'll always be sick. The doctors don't know how to heal this, and the medicine seems to be failing. Or, I'm such a fat pig, so I'll go have another gallon of ice cream. Since I'm never going to be thin anyway, I might as well eat what I'm going to eat and just buy bigger yoga pants. Now, does that prayer make you look fat? Yes. Yes, it does, because that's a prayer. So these prayers are making us broke, sick, and fat. It's creating exactly what we don't want because we are using our words with passion and with power. We don't want to, but that's what we're doing. Your words are powerful, as we talked about last week. What you say to the universe goes forth and comes back to you, completely fulfilled. Only by seeing life, peace, power, joy, abundance, and wholeness can we call that forth. So we have to keep talking about and acting on and thinking about and meditating and praying on that which we do want in our lives. Not the opposite, not like the disciples going, get out of this kid. We have to say, no, it's already taken care of. God is this in me already, and sometimes it might take a little while to manifest, but we keep on keeping on. No matter how grim or hopeless a situation may be, knowing, affirming, passionately declaring that God is my answer, that God is my good, my success, my health, and my joy brings forth the financial flow, brings forth the health that I've been looking for, brings forth the job that seems to be elusive, brings forth the man or the woman that seems to be elusive. You've been on Match.com how long? Don't you love it? We'll give you another month free. It's like, wait a minute. If this is supposed to work, why am I signing up for 6 months? What's that about? Shouldn't this be happening? They go, we'll get back to you on that. You know, once in a while, people will come up to me and say, there just are no good men or women in this city. I just don't see how it's going to happen. And I'll say, that's a hell of a prayer. Well, it's a hellish prayer, actually. You know, once in a while, I'll prove to women here, straight women here, that there are straight men here. By having this, well, let's do that now. Would all the heterosexual men who are available please stand? I know there are a few. There you go. One, two, three, four, five. Okay. Take a look around. Everybody turn around. Show yourself. Get up. Turn around. Show yourself. No, don't sit down yet. Turn into the crowd here. Take a good look. Okay? All right, now sit down. Okay, so I did that a couple of years ago, as I like to do once in a while. Just to say, look, they're here. And a woman walked up to me, I'm not kidding, because she was one of the ones who always say, there's no straight men. I said, look, there were straight men. She walked up, she said, yeah, but did you see them? Ah! This is a hard job sometimes. And I'll say, we will see according to what we believe. You see according to what you believe. I can't tell you how many heterosexual women have met heterosexual men here and have had babies. Because they said, okay, God, bring the right and perfect person into my purview. I affirm that they are here now. Here now. Okay, I want all the gay men to stand up for a moment. All the gay men stand up. All right, I want you to take a look around. All right. Can I take a look around? Okay. Sit. All right. Now, sometimes even gay men was like, I can't really meet anybody here. There's a word that you can say that really works powerfully here. Hello. It works really well. And then you follow up with, my name is, what's yours? My name is Baby June, what's yours? I don't care what your name is, just say, this is who I am. These are very friendly. You will meet a friendlier crowd here in New York. And even if they are not attracted to you in that way, you will have a new friend. You'll have a new prayer partner. You'll have a new group to go to brunch with. People will say, God, you're so clicky here. Cliques are only friends who know each other before you got here. That's all that is. Walk up and say, hi, I'm new. And they'll say, hi, we love you. Come and have brunch with us. That happens. You have to be brave enough and risk stepping forward to say, hi, I'm Baby June. They'll say, interesting name. Come join us for brunch. Tell us all about it. You have to step forward to have the life you want. Whether that is in introducing yourself to somebody new or saying, I am a healthy, successful child of God. I deserve all the good that God has for me. Yes? They both take power. So I want to share with you a phone call I received. I've shared this story before, but it's so powerful and it's so faith-building that I do like to share it once in a while because it's so powerful. I changed some specifics only to protect the identity because we do have a Silent Unity confidentiality thing we sign. I still hold to that. Even in this ministry, I don't talk about. Sometimes I'll change situations or identities that people don't even know I'm talking about them, but it's all 100% true. I received a call from a woman one evening. She was requesting prayers for her little grandson. He was not expected to live the night, according to the doctor. Well, she had been a longtime Unity student, a daily word reader. She knew she had faith that prayer would bring forth whatever was necessary for her grandson, not necessarily even to stay on the planet, but just for what needed to happen. She fully trusted the power of God was at work, regardless of what the appearance was. And so our prayers, my prayer that came out of my mouth was, God's will is for your grandson to be healed. Another one of those, what did I just say? Because as a trainer, I knew that you don't tell somebody who's about to make transition or somebody that they love that they're going to be healed. Because if the soul is ready to leave, we just pray for light and for peace and for an easy transition if that's what's going to happen. But we don't specifically pray for a physical healing. We don't pray against a person's soul desire, and sometimes the soul just wants to go home. So we say, we bless them, and him or her, and we know that they are moving forward easily and gently. But what came out of my mouth was definitely channeled from God. It was not what I would have ever said. God's will is for your grandson to be healed, and I literally just did a little jump. And it was out of my mouth, and like I said, it was channeled, and the woman, there was a crackling energy that I heard and felt, and she went, whoa. We both felt this energy, even though we were talking halfway across the country. I got a physical sensation, as I often did, when I knew a prayer was really connecting. And then I prayed with her my favorite Silent Unity children's healing prayer, which is, the healing love that our brother Jesus poured out on the children is now poured out on your grandson. He is whole, well, and strong, and we are grateful for that manifestation of truth. Amen. She said, I know this is true. I feel it. I absolutely know this is the truth. I'll call you back. She called back not an hour later, and because the computers are on a circuit, you can't choose a phone call or choose a prayer person. You just get whoever you're going to get. I got her. An hour later, she called back and said, "Oh my God, it's you." She said, "My grandson just woke up and he wants to eat. He was near death and now he's hungry. The doctors are floored. They don't know what to make of this. They're spinning around. They don't know what to say. They don't even know what to do." But we know, silent unity, what happened, don't we? The power of God is manifested. By being a channel of God's healing power, not only are those you pray for healed, but you are prayed as well. Our chaplains know that. It's one of the secrets of being a chaplain that's so fun, that the prayers they're doing with you come back to them multiplied over 100 times. It is the most astonishing work. Chaplains, am I right? Can I get a hallelujah? Absolutely. It's the most astonishing thing. When you pray for other people, you are healed. In the book of James chapter 5, it says, "Is any of you sick? The prayer of faith will save a sick person. Pray for one another that you may be healed." So if you want healing, your job is to pray for other people. If you don't know anybody, do the prayer. Bring them into your purview. Bring them into your consciousness. Know that whoever the chaplains are praying for and with, tap into that and know that you're adding your prayers here at Unity of New York. One of the wonderful techniques that we have is called the Golden Key. I think we have a few pamphlets. I'm not sure if Denise has any today or not. But it's very simple. It was put together by Emmett Fox. And basically the teaching is what we focus on grows. What you focus on becomes not only the thing that you have in your life, it becomes your life. So to see what your life is, what have you been focusing on? What have you been fretting about? What have you been thinking about over and over and over again? If it's something good, then it's manifesting. If it's a limitation or a lack or something you don't have and you begin to focus on that, you're putting your God energy into the thing that you don't want or the thing that you don't have, and you're increasing that which you do not have. Anybody ever see Keeping Up Appearances? The wonderful Britcom, Hyacinth Bouquet. Her brother-in-law, Onslow, a man of leisure, we'll call him. The other day, he was sitting there, and he was affirming, said, "I'm sitting here surrounded by absolutely no beer." That was an affirmation he was making, and therefore, he didn't have any beer. Whatever we're affirming in life is what we are calling forth over and over again. So to discover what you're focusing on, look at your life. This is what you've been calling forth, fortunately or unfortunately. This is your daily prayer, whether you mean it to be or not. What have you accepted as true, as inevitable? If a condition comes up, do you continue to focus on it, like an illness or a disease or lack of a job or lack of money? You can continue to focus on the lack. Well, that continues to grow. Or do you focus on God as your health, God as your success, God as your abundance? A friend's grandmother applied the Golden Key to her own healing challenge. Even though she was a Southern Baptist, doesn't know anything about metaphysical teaching, she called it something else, but the intent was the same. This very devout woman went to her doctor. The doctor said, "You've got cancer." A few months after her diagnosis, she was going through a very challenging time physically. She was dizzy. She was tired all the time. She wasn't feeling well, but she was keeping up her prayers. Well, she got to a point, as we all do, where we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And she sat down and she had a good talk with her God. She began with this prayer, not a unity-type prayer, but it worked for her. She said, "Okay, Lord, listen up and listen good. You've got a choice here. Take me or leave me and let me get on with my life. Choose now." Well, wouldn't you know it, after having her talk, she felt good enough. She knew that God was at work, and so she got up and she made her family dinner. A week went by, and she went back to the doctor, who was dumbfounded to find no trace of cancer at all, anywhere inside of her. She said, "Well, yeah, I told God, make your mind up." And he did. "Why are you surprised?" I go your way. You're healed." And she was. She lived a number of good years after that. She had faith. She knew that God was going to do one thing or another. And God did through her. The power of prayer is in knowing. Is in knowing that you're a powerful, wonderful, perfect child of God. And that whatever you declare is true, whether it's knowing powerful currents of God's healing love move through me now, or God, make up your mind. Either way, it's a powerful prayer of faith. Do I have faith? Absolute faith that God is within me doing this work. Then if I am, I can let go of anything that I've been holding contrary to that truth and say, God, I can't wait to see how you're going to work this one out. I am joyful and I am grateful. Let's go. Let's do this. Again, as Jesus said, where's your faith? Is your faith in the bank, in other people, or is it with God within? Knowing the truth, whether you're Baptist or Jewish or Hindu or Unity, it doesn't matter. Truth is truth. That woman of faith turned it over to the power of God within her. She had faith that she was taken care of God by no matter what. No matter what the outcome, God was in charge and God was at work. Now, as a Baptist, she continued to see God as an outside force in heaven, but it didn't matter. She had faith. Prayer of faith heals. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go forth. Know the truth. Affirm the truth. Affirmative prayer is the most powerful prayer we can make because it agrees with God's divine ideas of love, of harmony, of order, of strength, of success, of the outpicturing of every good and more than we could ever imagine. If I come to you for prayer, as people will come to you. Once you've come on the path, people are going to all of a sudden come to you to talk to you, to get prayer, to have you hold good thoughts even, because they see something is activated within you. So knowing your faith has made you whole helps me to know my faith has made me whole as well. Even being willing to believe is enough. The epileptic boy who came to Jesus said, I'm willing to believe. I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Jesus said, that's all I need. Just that mustard seed size of faith is all it takes for God to do the work. So even if you're not completely there, all it takes is a willingness to be willing. Just say, okay, I'm willing to be willing. Let's see what you do here, God. I'm going to completely open myself up and know that you are doing the work. So I invite you right now to close your eyes. Go within to your heart. Do I believe? Do I have faith? Yes. Yes, we do. This is God's work. This is God's work. You can't figure this out. You don't know how, so let it go. Drop it. Your job is to let the love flow within you, affirm the power of God, and give thanks for the manifestation. However that's happening, you have no idea how it's happening. You just know it is. That's all you got to know. God is doing this. The power, the principle of life is infallible. God is truly at work. Feel the love, feel the joy, feel the peace well up in you. The name of the condition doesn't matter. Cancer, arthritis, unemployment, poverty, muffin top, nothing matters. It's not the truth of a child of God. It's just a thought. Let that thought go. It's not a part of who you are anymore. Your work is to call forth love, call forth joy, be grateful, and step forward as God is guiding you. Breathe in and let go. Take another breath and let it go. One more time. Let go. And we go deeper, as we always do, by singing our way into our meditation. Knowing I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, all that God is. Just you and God, that's all there is. God is at work, and I am working as well. I am so grateful for
time, just a little quieter. Got this. You came in here this morning with any fear or doubt or whatever emotion you came in with. Remember right now that God is present. The divine love and joy that created you is longing for full expression through your mind, your emotions, your body, your words, every action you take. How much of God have I been allowing to pour forth? Have I been trying to make my life work instead of letting my life work? Let it go. You don't know how, you never have. Thank God. But spirit within is always longing for full expression. To move through your heart, your mind, your soul, to reveal your good is here. You are in the right place. And unfolding into an even more wonderful place as you allow Spirit to direct and guide you. God is the light on our path. Our way is made clear. I know what to do and how to do it with God. At work. Let that light flow through you, revealing all that you need to know right here, right now. There's nothing missing. God isn't withholding. I just have been holding other thoughts contrary. Today I let those thoughts go because they don't work for me. Never have. Today I hold only God thoughts, God ideas. The wisdom of God flows through me now. I know what I need to know. God is wholeness, strength, energy within me. Sometimes it's all we can do to get out of bed because we've been holding thoughts contrary to the power of God. Today I know I'm a powerful creation of spirit. I can do anything. My mind and body work together. And I am invincible. I am here to do God's work, which is to love, to bless, to be joyful, to be creative, to be happy. Today I choose joy. Today I choose strength. Today I choose I am a success in my life. I do the thing that gives me great joy, and I am abundantly blessed because I do this work. My good doesn't come from the work, it comes from spirit. I get joy from doing the creative work that I'm here to do. And I am abundantly blessed by the universe. I am a prosperous, abundant being of God. My good pours forth, and all is well. Breathe into your heart. Let go, and let God reveal the good. In the quiet of our being, I invite you to do that right now. Let go, surrender your limitation for God's unlimited good. Breathe in and let go. the silence of my being, I find joy. In the silence of my being, I find abundant good. In the silence, I find wholeness. In the silence, I find me. And for this awareness, we are so grateful. And so it is.